desire and interest in your prayers this evening. The song is always an impression to me. I want the Lord to hold my hand. And I certainly feel His need this evening to hold my hand and help us to have the right words to be able to express our burden this evening. I would, sitting there in my seat, looking over here on what is my right now, I've seen a lot of young men. I think they'd make a good fence building crew. And there's nothing like having plenty of help if you're going to build a fence. And I'd like to talk to us about fences this evening with the help of the Lord. Thinking about many years ago, my mother was a small child in the rough terrain of southeast Missouri, where the around Poplar Bluff is where she came from, where my grandparents and great-grandparents came from, and very rocky, very hilly, and fences are very difficult to build. And when she was a small child, she told me of stories, remembering that what livestock they had was allowed to run open range, they called it. And you limited your fence building by building a fence around your garden or something to keep the livestock out of the garden instead of trying to contain your livestock. And she told us stories about how her father would, they would brand their cattle, and a few cows they had, and they would notch the ears of their pigs. And I guess there's so many notches on the upper side and so many notches on the bottom side, and that's how they told whose pigs they were. And I guess my grandfather had, her father had quite a few notches where the pigs didn't have much of an ear left when he got finished. That's the way she remembers it. But she was a young girl and probably was feeling sorry for the pigs. But the point that I wanted to make there is they didn't have any fences to really hold their livestock in. They were allowed to run with the neighbors on whatever pasture there was and eat the acorns in the woods, and that's how they fattened up their hogs. This evening I want us to think about fences that we might have in our lives. And first thing I would like for us to do is turn to the book of Proverbs and notice a passage here that we have probably all read from time to time. In the beginning in verse 30, in the 24th chapter of Proverbs, it says, "He that saith unto the wicked," "thou art righteous." I'm not in the right chapter here somewhere. Yeah, that's where I'm looking for. All right, let's skip down to the 30th verse. It says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." That's how this all happened. It said, "So shall thy poverty come." So, I'm not so interested in talking about being slothful this evening. I just want us to think about this wall that was around this vineyard in particular. It says that it was, broken down. So, if you have a wall, a fence that's broken down, it's dysfunctional. It doesn't serve the purpose. And I would think that if we had a stone wall, that the intention would be that it could withstand considerable force from either side. But if a stone wall is broken, then whatever you were trying to keep in, or whatever you was trying to keep out, it didn't function very well. If you're coming up against a fence and you're looking for a way to get to the other side, you start looking for a gate, a weak place, a broken place where you can get over. So this fence was not functional. And I think about the place that I have, and it's an irregular piece of property. In fact, the survey says that one boundary line meanders down the center of a creek. So it gives you an idea that there's not a lot of, there are some straight lines, but not a lot. And so to build a fence in a place that is meandering is more challenging than one that's just a straight line. And when I came there, one of the deals in buying the piece of property is what they would establish some steel corner posts. And then it was up to me to build the rest of the fence. So I started out with pretty new fence. And now, almost 15 years later, there are places I've noticed that need some repair. There's some posts that's got hooked with a piece of farm equipment. And there's strands of my barbed wire that has gotten stretched and broken. And it's not new any longer. There's some places that need some repair. It's not completely broken down, but there's places. In fact, just the other day, there was a strand broken, and I thought I was going to separate, or one of my boys was going to separate one cow from the other, and a few minutes later, they were back in the same pen. And it's because they found the broken place and pushed themselves right through there. So, fences can become broken and dysfunctional. I'd like to go to Psalms and reinforce that just a little bit. In Psalms, the 62nd Psalm, I believe it is where we want to go. And we notice here that some commentators feel that this psalm was probably written, the occasion was probably due to Absalom's rebellion. And it says here, beginning in verse 1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. And wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence." Now, a bowing wall, one that is not straight, doesn't have the strength that a straight wall does. And it says, it also points out the weakness and the frailty of a tottering fence. So, it's important then, if you need a fence, that it's not a broken fence, that it's not a tottering fence, that it is something that we can depend on. All right? So I want us to be established in our mind that whatever the necessity of a fence is, there's really no point of having a fence unless it's a good fence. All right? So I'm interested this evening of what kind of fences you might have in your life, on what kind of fences you're building, and if you're even building any fences. And are you keeping whatever fences you have, are you keeping them maintained? Are you letting them become tottering and broken for whatever reason that might be? Think of Acts, the 7th chapter. We have the story of Stephen being accused, and he gives his answer to the leaders there, to the high priest. If we go to the 7th chapter of Acts, we notice here that Stephen preaches quite a message to them. And he says in the beginning in verse 48, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest?" And in our book, number 99, the song says, "Not in temples made with hands, though beautiful by art, but God in mercy condescends to dwell within my heart." In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, it says, talks to us about our body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm interested this evening in us examining the type of fences that we might be trying to establish or neglect in our spiritual building, in our building structure. I'm not interested in us building something naturally speaking, although I can admire good construction and appreciate appreciate a facility that is accommodating and atmosphere that's comfortable and all of those kind of things. But tonight we're interested in directing our minds to our spiritual structure, our spiritual fence that we might be building. And I want us to know that life has a lot of irregularities, just like my piece of property does. I lived in Oklahoma before I moved to where I'm at now in the state of Missouri. And the place was just about a perfect rectangle. You could look at the survey and it had pretty much 90 degree corners. And you could look on a plat map and it looked very uniform and symmetrical. And that's not true with the place that I live now. It's, as I said, very irregular. And life has a lot of irregular things that we have to contend with. And so I want us to examine tonight not our natural fences, but if you have fences, if you're trying to keep your livestock in, you might ought to pay attention to that. You know, fences don't just maintain themselves. And although they can be pretty sturdy, they need some attention once in a while. And our spiritual fences need attention as well. So I want us to move now to Galatians, the 5th chapter. And I want us to think about the type of things that we're trying to use our fence for. I have just a very few cows, and I'm not interested in them leaving my place. There's liability that's involved in that, and also there's a chance of loss of my assets. Had a situation back earlier in the year that a storm came up, knocked a tree down, which broke all 5 or 6 strands of my fence, and I went out to check on them in the morning, and most of them were missing. And we spent a lot of time and found them about a mile away on a neighbor's piece of property. And fortunately, we were able to contain them and later on that day move them back home. But a fence is important for keeping things in. And here in Galatians, the 5th chapter, I'd like to begin reading in the 16th verse. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So I'm interested in our spiritual condition, maintaining our spiritual atmosphere in our souls, maintaining our relationship with God. And he says, "If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, seditions, strife and seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do those such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, making the assumption that all of us here want to make it to heaven, I believe that we're going to have to make it there because we intend to go there. We're not going to slip in, slide in, or fall in. We're going to get there because we really want to go. And I have to take the measures to safeguard my soul, to enable me to be eligible, if you will, to make it to heaven. Do I earn salvation? No, I don't do that. But, you know, I have to meet my Heavenly Father's expectations. And to do that, it says all of these things, these works of the flesh, those that do those things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I have to have something that will help me keep those out of my life. And so the point of my message tonight is I have to realize that I need a fence to keep those things on the outside of my spiritual life. I cannot allow those things to encroach on the inside of my life. I have another fence on my place that I really need to unclip all of the wire and pull all of the T-posts. The corners are still good. They're real sturdy and straight and square. But I need to unclip all the T-posts and pull them up and reset them. Because the cows have felt like that the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. And they have been pushing their head and necks through there and leaning on the fence for so long that they have gradually got in my rocky soil, they have the T-post bent over at about, 25, 30 degree angle. And it looks like with just a little run and jump, they might get out. So I need to fix that. Nothing wrong with the corners, all right? But the fence in between needs some attention. Those no broken strands, it's just all leaning over. And it's because they have been leaning through that fence and putting pressure on it. So it's important that we don't... The fence is something we want our livestock to respect. And we should respect the fences that God wants us to have. If we continually are reaching through because something looks tasty on the other side. I know you've all seen this. This is rural enough area. You've seen the cows maybe down on their knees with their head cranked around, reaching under or through the fence to get that luscious green grass on the other side. And they might have just as tasty a stuff on the inside of the fence, but they're reaching over there for something that is beyond the boundary. So, I want us to realize that the function of the fence is to keep some things out, but also it's to keep some things in and offer protection. You know, one of the reasons I have a fence is because I don't want my cows to get out in the road where somebody might hit one of them.
That's right.
I don't want the thing to be dead until I'm ready for it to be that way. I'm not interested in trying to find a butcher at 4 in the morning or something. I want to plan that, you see. So, the other thing it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So these are the things. This is the list of the things that we want to keep on the inside of the fence. I want those things in my life. I want them to be something that's on display in the midst of us as a body of people. I don't want the other things on display in the midst of us. I don't want them in my life. I know that if I partake of those things that are classified here as the works of the flesh, the Scripture tells me very plainly, I can't inherit the kingdom of God. So I want to keep those out of my life. So how do we keep those out of our life? I feel like that we have to know how to build a fence. And I know that we live in a time where boundaries and fences, morally speaking, are not a popular subject. It's not something that people embrace very readily. But it is important for us to recognize that we need to know where the boundary is. So, I want us to consider this thought a little further. We know in 1 Peter, the second chapter, it tells us, maybe we'll turn there and read this verse real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, wherefore also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confused. We have to have that chief cornerstone in our lives. We have to begin at a starting point. If you ever notice a survey, I'm not a surveyor, but I've read through surveys, and when you have an irregular piece of property, it can get very tedious. But it will have something like beginning at a certain point. And then it gives you dimensions and direction. And I found this much out. Even though I really don't know what all jargon I'm reading, I know that when I read it, it's got to get from one point to the next point, and it's got to go all the way around to the place it started. And if it doesn't do that, then the legal description is not right. There's something wrong with it. I had that happen not so long ago on a piece of property a few years ago. And I took it back to the surveyor and I said, there's a gap here that doesn't go all the way around. And we have to think about that in any spiritual fence we build. We want to keep the fruits of the Spirit in. We want to keep the works of the flesh on the outside. And the fence we build needs to come full circle. It needs to come all the way around. Where is our starting point? It has to be on the chief cornerstone. We have to measure off of that. We can't arbitrarily pick a spot. We have to start with Jesus Christ. So, I'm interested in the corners. If we had a rectangular piece of property and we would only need, or a square piece of property, all we'd need is four corners. But I know that there are many anchoring points in our spiritual life, and I want us to think this evening about the cornerstones and the corner posts, so to speak, that we must build our spiritual fence upon. And I'll say this in building the fence around my place. I told you that we hired someone to drive corner posts and build steel corners. And then we, the boys, drove posts and pulled wire. And, you know, you can look down through and you think you've got, especially if you're going through brush and woods and things like that, you think you've got a clear line of sight. But there's one thing about it. When you stretch that first wire and tighten it up, you'll find out if there's any limbs or any brambles and trees that need to be cut out of the way. So, the points that we have to pull on, alright? And I'm not going to say I'm an expert fence builder. I just know that you got to start somewheres and tie off and go to the next point, and you got to stretch the wire tight. It's pretty simple. And as you're stretching the wire tight, you got to have something that's secure enough to pull against, and you got to have a good solid anchor point. So, I want us to think about the solid anchor points that we have in the Scriptures when you're trying to define the corner post in your spiritual life. Remember what we said. In Galatians, it gives us a whole list of things that we're intent on keeping out if we're going to make it to heaven. But it also gives us a list of things that we want to keep in our walk with the Lord, in our, inside our fence, the things that we want to see and we want to cultivate. So I'd like to begin first in John, the third chapter, St. John, the third chapter. Very familiar story here. We look at St. John 3 and verse 7. Jesus speaking to one man that came to him at night. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And I want to tell you tonight that if you try to start somewheres in your fence and you don't include this as a corner post in your fence, you're not going to be successful. You want to try to build a spiritual fence to keep the world out and keep the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you try to start without being born again, if you want to try to start by becoming a member of something or getting a relationship with a preacher or whatever, it's not going to work. You're going to have this corner post established in your life. You must be born again. It's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And it's not going to work just to start coming to church. You know, the more you come to church, the more spiritual you'll feel. Did you know that? And the more you come and rub shoulders with good people, the better you'll feel about yourself. The more you'll think that you're on the right path and you're building. But I'm going to tell you, if you get down the road a few days, a few years, and you have never been born again, you're not really building a fence. You're pulling on a rotten corner post. You know, it's a tottering fence. It's not something that's going to hold when the pressure comes on. So I want to tell you tonight that when you start building your spiritual fence, you must be born again. You've got to have that spiritual birth to enable you to build anything that'll keep the world out and God in. So I want to move on to another one. In Acts, the 19th chapter, we have a setting here that I feel is very important. Every one of these points could be a message at some time. But Acts 19 and verse 2, maybe we'll start with 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So, it's important, once you are born again, to put yourself in a place where you can receive the Holy Ghost. Put in for it. Start seeking the Lord. How can I be filled with the Holy Ghost? This is another a corner post that you need to be able to have established and driven down into something solid where you can begin to start building a fence. You understand what I'm saying now? We're endeavoring to keep the works of the flesh on the outside, and we want the fruit of the Spirit on the inside. And to be able to do that, I have to establish a corner post of being born again. And I have to establish another corner post of being filled with the Holy Ghost. I recently built some new fence at my place and put some hay bales over in a corner, and I thought, you know, that's going to be a variable, so I'll just string up an electric fence. We had a little snow here a while back, and I strung up an electric fence, and I just hooked it on both ends and kind of tightened it up a little bit. Well, not only is my boundary lines irregular, but the surface is irregular, and there's a little bit of a hill between the two points. And over the night, and it got cold, and the wire kind of drooped down and touched the ground a little bit. And guess what? My cows went in there where the hay bales were. And I had to go chase them out, and then I had to put a post there in the middle to kind of hold it up. You know, we have to recognize that whatever we're stretching against, there has to be supporting members. There has to be supporting documentation. If you're going to prove something in a court of law, you need some supporting documentation. You've got to have something that will not only be in line with the two points that you're pulling against or pulling on, but support the thing. All right? So now let's go on to 1 Peter, the third chapter, and notice another one. First Peter chapter 3, it says here, verse 21, it says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Did you know that baptism is not designed to wash off any sinful nature? All right? But this is a corner post that we have to have in our spiritual arsenal. There are those out there that will try to influence you that baptism is an induction into Christianity. I want to tell you that's not what the Scripture teaches, but it is an ordinance. It is important to comply with that ordinance. It is important that we use that in our fence building. We're intent on keeping the world out and keeping God in. All right? So now I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And I want to read a few verses here to us. Ephesians 5, and beginning in verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." This is a cornerstone. This is part of the works of the flesh. But we have to recognize that there is a post, a corner that we have to drive that differentiates between the influences of the world and the fruits of the Spirit. And we have to drive that post and establish that corner and have something that is stable to pull against. Something that we can stretch a wire across. Something that we can tighten up and then drive our intermediate post and then be able to stretch our other wire and clip it on. We want something that's intimidating to things that come from the outside. You know, that's all barbed wire is. It's just a little bit of an intimidator. If you don't believe that, just get some cattle excited and head them towards a fence. And they'll go right through it. They'll break some wire. The wire will just pop off. They'll go in amongst it, and little T-post clips will go everywhere. It won't keep them in. But if they just ease up to it and touch it, and that barbed wire pops, pricks them a little bit, they'll back up. You know, we want a fence that intimidates the enemy. Can we keep him from coming? He'll try to come and set in here with us, won't he?
Yes, that's right.
He really will.
Yes.
But I want him to know this is where the line is. I am pulling between an experience of salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I have been obedient to God's command, and I have followed through with the ordinance of baptism. That is my testimony to the world around me that I'm no longer the old man. I have established a corner post over here that says that old wicked, lustful life that the world promotes as exhilarating and as fulfilling, I'm telling you, that's a corner that it keeps everything, all of that stuff on the outside. I want the devil to know that. And I want to be able to build a fence with supporting documentation that helps him to know and me to know I'm keeping those things on the other side of the fence. All right? Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And notice here, in verse 17, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Did you know that some of the crookedest people in the world want you to be honest with them? Have you ever noticed that? If you're ever in any kind of business transaction, then you may be dealing with the shadiest customer in a four-state area. And they want you to turn the blind eye to any regulations or any other agreements and all this. But they don't want you to take advantage of them. They want you to be honest with them. And God wants us to be honest with all men. That's a corner post that we have to have established. And when we do that, you know, the corner posts at my place, I told you, are still good. But there's some of the fence in between that has been deteriorated by the things that's come in contact with it, by the livestock that's pushed against it. All of those things can cause the boundary to become distorted to some extent. And I know that every one of us here are going to face things that's going to tend to distort the boundaries from time to time. As we go from one generation to another generation, and we're endeavoring to pass truth on, there are times that things become a little muddled because of pressure from the world around us. The pressure of the world trying to creep in, it might be in the lines of honesty, and it might be in the lines of those things that we talked about earlier, the works of the flesh. And it might be because your peers have not been as sincere as they should have been, and they've been reaching through the fence. All of those things are factors. And that's why life is not just a perfect square or a perfect rectangle. There's a lot of meandering in life. But I'm going to tell you, there are some cornerstones that are established in the Scripture, and we need to incorporate them in our lives. I'd like to go to Luke, the 18th chapter, and notice another one that I feel is important. In Luke, the 18th chapter, in verse 1, he says, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." You know, that's a cornerstone that we dare not neglect. It needs to be there. It needs to be driven in solid. It needs to be something that we can pull on and not topple it over. Have you ever seen a fence that the post was rotted off at the ground? It's not very effective, is it? That's not the kind of prayer we need. We need prayer that's solid. Lord, help us. It says men here. I'll spread that out to mankind. You sisters have a responsibility too. But men, we've been named out. And Lord, help us to be faithful, to lead our families in prayer. It's a cornerstone. And if we don't have it, it's going to be hard to build a fence. It's hard to build a fence without a born-again experience. It's hard to build a fence without being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's hard to build a fence if you haven't been following the ordinances the Lord prescribes. It's hard to build a fence if we don't differentiate between the things that the world promotes and what godliness is. It's hard to build a fence if we don't have a good, solid prayer life going on, if we're not taking our children and our family to the Lord in prayer. Family worship and praying together is an important foundational cornerstone. And if you'll establish it and drive it in solid, it'll be something that you can build a fence on. It'll be something that'll keep the fruits of the Spirit in your home. It'll be something that'll help you ward off the works of the flesh and keep them on the outside. In 1 Timothy, the second chapter, we'll turn there. You know, people out there will label you. I imagine you've got a label for me. And the world will label us as a group of people. You know, one of the labels that people will label us with is holiness. Holiness people. And there's expectations that people have from holiness people. And one of those things is our outward appearance. And it says here in 1 Timothy 2 and 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. That kind of goes along with the other verse we read, doesn't it? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You know, this is a cornerstone, a corner post that the enemy would like to move. He'd like for it to rot off. He'd like for it to become ineffectual. And he'd like for you to fence around it. Or maybe just skip that one and fence straight over from being filled with the Holy Spirit to something else and not use this as one of your cornerstones and one of your corner posts. But it's important, the Lord help us, to not avoid it and to keep it established. I'm talking about us keeping the world out and the fruit of the Spirit on the inside. Something, you know, the Scripture talks about the church being a glorious thing. And you know, all of us have pictures that are beautiful to us. Some of us, the sunrise is the most beautiful picture you could ever see. Some of us, it's the sunset. Maybe you like both of them. And, you know, there's something about looking out across the pasture and seeing cattle grazing contented. Maybe the sun shining through some clouds and the shadow of the cloud drifting over the pasture. There's something pretty about that. And there's something beautiful about the people of God grazing contentedly and getting fat on the fruits of the Spirit. that's beautiful. But you know, if we don't have the boundaries in place, and God-given boundaries, not man-made things, but these are I'm reading from the Bible. I hope you've noticed that. In the fourth chapter of John, I got another one that I'd like for us to look at. The fourth chapter of John, and notice here in the 23rd verse, it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now, I'm very interested in our worship services, be it in this location or my home turf or wherever true Christians come together. I'm interested in their worship being led by the Spirit, and not led by a prearranged something that is handed out. I was acquainted with a man some time ago that used to participate in some leadership function in a Christian organization out there. And some comment was made about what he was going to do over the weekend. And one of the things he told me was that they had worship practice to go to. Worship practice. You ever thought of that? Well, practice means you know what's supposed to be said and what's supposed to be done, and you go through a routine. Well, there's something richer than that. And you know, the enemy would like for us to eliminate that corner post in our midst too. He'd like for us to eliminate that and fence just cut across the corner there, so to speak. Don't include that one in your fence. That's what the enemy would like for us to do. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to miss something. We're going to start down a path that's not going to be successful. I'm interested tonight in being able to keep the fruits of the Spirit in, where they blossom and where they grow. And I want to keep the works of the flesh on the outside. So I have to remember that the true worshipers are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit leadership. It's valuable. It's something we've taken some slack over. It's something that we people don't understand sometimes. And there's critical remarks made. Lord, help us to never discount it and fence around it. I'm thinking now about our individual responsibilities. I've tried to read that. There's probably some more that maybe someone else that's more capable can remind us of. There's probably some other things that are established in the Scriptures. But, you know, if you hire somebody to come drive corner posts for you, and then you're driving the T-post and stretching the wire, the thing I got to worry about is staying in line between the corners. And we have a responsibility to put our support, to study, the Scripture says, study to shew ourselves approved, and know how to apply the Scriptures to support the boundary. Support the boundary between Holy Spirit leadership and men praying and living a modest life, one that's modest attire on the outside. And keeping those things like fornication and all of that on the outside. Lord, help us to know how. You know, it takes a lot of wisdom to know when the enemy is trying to sneak something in. The enemy tries to, he'll try to feed us something that's poisonous. He'll try to put something in inside the fence that we don't need to be eating. Years ago, we had wasn't a fence around, but we had a cage with some rabbits in it. And one of the boys picked some stuff. It looked pretty. Looked like rabbit food. You know, it was green, and I don't know what it was called now. Maybe one of the boys could tell me. But they picked this stuff up and put it in the cage with the rabbit, and that rabbit ate it. And he died. You know, the enemy would like to come along and feed us something that's poisonous and throw it over the fence. He wants to do that. And it takes a lot of discernment. Lord, this new thing that's coming along, is this something that I can partake of or not? Is this something that I need to put my post in, so to speak, and support the wire and keep that thing on the outside? Or is it something that's edible, spiritually talking about now? I want us each one to be diligent and careful. Make sure that our fence encloses the whole thing. Don't, you know, we can get all wound up about being born again and baptized and forget we're supposed to pray. You know, we're going to leave a gap. And the fruits of the Spirit is going to leak out. I'm sure every one of us here has had times in your life that you have allowed your prayer life to be neglected. And guess what happens? The wire goes down. There's things, there may be an attitude crop up. There may be thoughts that start entertaining in your mind that shouldn't be there. All because I forgot to pull on that corner post. So my challenge here tonight is build a fence. I'm not trying to be exclusive to people or anything like that, but build a fence that'll keep the world out. Something that'll keep what's valuable in, because we want our souls to prosper. I want to be faithful. I don't want to come and tell things like this to you folks and then go home and not hold up my end of the bargain. I want to be faithful. I desire your prayers that I'll be found pleasing to the Lord. You pray for me.